he came here undocumented. He owns that. He came here from Mexico, where he was a heavy metal guitarist, because his parents became old and there was no social net to catch these people. They were plummeting into hell. And he gave up his music career. He gave up all of his dreams of Mexican rock stardom to come here because it was the only way he could make enough money to keep his mother and father alive in their old age. He hasn't seen them in years. He hasn't seen his brother in years. He actually paid for his brother's wedding without attending from the United States. So through various ways, a lot of people end up in Chicago. That's one of the hugest Mexican cities. You know, it's like the fourth largest Mexican city. I think it's, you know, Mexico City, Guadalajara, L.A., and Chicago.
Yeah.
Go figure, right? And he ended up at this restaurant. And he also, in the back of his mind, thought maybe he'd make it as an American rock star with no English and, you know, the dream. So he's been working at this restaurant, attending to these men, mostly men. They're businesswomen, too. And he notices a lump in his throat, and he's having trouble swallowing. So he goes to a public health clinic 6 miles away from the restaurant. Every morning before sunup, he rides a bicycle to work. Every night after sundown, he rides the bicycle back to this rooming house, 12-mile journey. So he goes to the free clinic, and they do tests, and they find out he has throat cancer. And he realizes he can't afford any kind of treatments. They can't do it for him. Mm. He can't do surgery. He has a death sentence on him. He doesn't understand why. He's a straight edge heavy metal dude, so no drinking, no smoking, no drugs his entire life. Yet he has throat cancer, and he's thinking when he dies, his parents are going to die. And he confides in the waitresses, who are Americans. Now, the waitresses who have been feeding these gentlemen for 20 years start telling the clients, this poor guy has got throat cancer, and they start telling the story. So what happens? These strong Republican businessmen who don't like illegal immigration have looked in this man's eyes. He has served and taken care of them. They take up a collection amongst themselves, and they pay for his surgery and save his life. When he's recuperating, one of them buys him a fancy, expensive bicycle so he can get to work back and forth. So he tells me this story, and I said, so what are you going to do now? You've got your health. And he said, well, I'm going to stay here forever because I owe them service. And these good people you've just heard speak, I think it's something we've been sharing, that we realize that, you know, I think a place, I think a piece of land, I think a borderline, they're just places. What affects those places is the story attached to it. And I think looking in each other's eyes as human beings, hearing the art or the honesty of a story, or if we laugh, if there's humor, it's a kind of a virus that infects us with humanity. If I've shared your story with you, if I've shared your tears with you or your laughter with you, I can't then a minute later say, and by the way, you're not quite human and I don't like you anymore. Mm. There's this incredible